Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the SFL Drifters podcast. Your host, as always, I am the captain, Captain Ben. With me, Tim Murphy.
Good evening.
Noel Garcia.
Hello.
Unfortunately. Thank you. And back out of nowhere, I don't know where the heck he's been hiding, Paul Murphy.
Hello, how you doing?
And as you can hear, Tim, of course, is going crazy with his sound effects.
I love my sound effects.
Where'd you get those things from?
An app.
On your phone?
Yes, Andrew app.
You drew an app?
Android app.
Oh, okay.
I said Andrew app, didn't I?
Yeah, I was like, you what? You drew an app?
I got the Andrew app.
You're an artist now?
He's a great guy. He makes his own apps.
Last week we actually had, no, not last week, the week before, right?
Week before, yeah. Yes,
exactly. 2 weeks ago. We actually had a water cup challenge. Now, a lot of people are like, you guys been watching too much Initial D.
So?
Exactly. Tim, talk to us. What's this water cup challenge all about? Because a lot of people were like, water cup challenge.
It was fun. We had a good time. We had a couple people with convertibles, which was interesting. Because I made a cup holder that suction cupped onto the windshield. And we put water in the cup. And when they would go around the track, whoever spilt the most water would lose, you know, whoever spilled the least amount of water won. It ended up being that for some reason at a certain point, the water really just doesn't want to spill out of the cup no matter how bad you drive.
Really?
So we had four cups that were, you saw how close they were. We actually had to get a level, make sure they were level. And Gabe Morales won by a hair. It was, you were there. We had like four people around the cup saying, oh, I think that one was more.
What was Gabriel Morales driving, though?
He was driving a 5 Series BMW.
Well, what year?
I don't know. What year is
it? Like mid-90s, 90, right?
93, 94.
E39.
E30, yeah.
Like the big body.
Yeah, automatic, yeah. Big body. I don't know really what's done. Not much is done to it. It's the V8.
Yeah, so 96 through 01, 540.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance were you playing like Eurobeat music and Initial D music in the background as they were like sliding through with the waters?
No, I should have though.
That would have been nice. Yeah. No, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh no, it could be debated why he won with using that car. It's very smooth on transitions.
And it's slow.
But the long wheelbase really helps. And also something else I was looking at was the 240SX, all the cars, all the 240s, they're running down the track and the water spilling out, like the air
morons
is coming in. The air is coming into the cup and picking it up.
So you think aerodynamics had a role in this?
Slightly.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't think about that.
I didn't
either. Because I was at the run-up and I was watching the cars, and once they would have hit second gear, you just see water splashing out. Like, once they're in second gear.
You don't
gear,
think
40
the
inertia?
No, like the abruption of the gear change?
No, because you would see like a lot of water come out, but this was like it was spraying out. Like the air was picking it up.
Anyways, so.
So that's your opinion. That's your theory.
That's his expert opinion.
Oh.
Anyhow.
What?
God, just...
It's your fault.
Anyways, yeah.
So how'd it go, Tim?
I thought it went pretty well. It came pretty close. I gave Doug Castro a second chance because it was so close to try to better. He was the last one to go. And I seemed like he did a very smooth run, but it actually lost more water than he did the first time.
Who got the... Or better yet, who spilled the most water?
Oh, the guy with the Miata.
Which guy?
Wheelbase.
The guy.
Which guy with the Miata?
This guy. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Don't do that again. Yes. He does it again.
Oh. You're talking about the Russian.
Is he Russian?
The NC.
I think
what's
so.
What's he doing?
He's Russian? Okay. I got
the
confirmation
guy,
from our fans over here.
You know who he is?
He's Russian. Yes.
He has the guy with the red Miata.
He has white FRS that's gone to skid pad a couple of times.
And Paul's been.
There's this guy, this Russian guy. That for people who don't know, this is Russian guy who first appeared in a Mazda MX-5, and he decided, he's like, oh, I'll try it. I'm like, okay. And he's usually an autocrosser and so forth, so that's his main thing, and he wanted to try out, you know, drifting. And next thing you know, a couple of events after, he shows up in a brand new FRS, And he's like, I just got it. I heard it's good for drifting. I'm like, okay, I guess. Good job. Even though he ended up going over a cone and just... how bad was his damage on the body?
He damaged the rocker panel on the passenger side.
Yeah, I think he hit the tire too.
Didn't even have like 3,000 miles on it, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't brought it back. I don't know what the mileage was. It was a brand new car, and he hit one of the red tires, the ones that we had painted red back then.
Yeah.
And he hit it, and it just had a red mark on the rocker panel, and you could see it was dented in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the door had a little bit too.
Needless to say, he hasn't been back with that car since.
Oh. So. In any case, yeah, so this is Russian guy, and we just try to tell him, do the layout, but he just does his own layout.
Yeah, he freestyles whatever he wants, and, you know, whatever.
People that tend to, like, not do good do that because they get frustrated and they just want to try to do something to make themselves look better, I guess.
No, I don't think it's the case with this guy.
Really? No.
Yeah. He does okay.
He's improved since the last time I saw him, and he's doing really well now, but he just does his own layout.
And that cage is really nice.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, you got really a cage nice on cage. The car.
Really nice cage. You'd like it. It's very well done.
That's one thing. That cage that... what's the guy's name? The guy with the Mustang.
What cage? Doug
Fay- oh, Will Burnett.
Yeah, Will. I don't know if that's legal.
It is legal.
How do you know it's legal?
Because he does his research, and I believe it's legal. It says it doesn't matter how many bends you have. It's just as long as
it does.
Does it really? Well, technically, it's just one bend.
No, because they want you to limit the bends because anytime you make a bend to the metal, you're ruining the structure of the metal. Anyways, I'm sorry for going off on that.
Okay, anyways, fine.
So what's the store for this weekend, Tim?
This weekend we're having a team tandem competition. Now, everybody's going to pair up. They're going to go out there. We're going to do it for about an hour, I think. Maybe not even. Might not even have to, just because I don't want to let everybody group up in tandem because there's a lot of guys that shouldn't be tandeming.
Okay.
So I think we need to approve the teams. We are allowing certain drivers to drive with more than one driver.
So what about if people aren't good enough to tandem? Are they going to be able to compete? No.
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 No. I think we're going to just limit that time for those tandem guys only. Maybe throw them out there for like half hour, 15 minutes, then open them up again for everybody else, figure out who the winners are or the top three groups or whatever, and then open it up again and have them.
Why don't you just do like a open practice? And
we're going to be able to open practice in the beginning.
Yeah, so I'm saying just open practice until you
start to judge it.
Do the it's not going to take long.
No, it's not going to take long. But me and Ben were talking at the meet last Wednesday that some people were saying, oh, we should have them switch, but it's not. They're not battling each other.
No, it's whoever's the best leader, whoever's the best follower,
they have to put on one good, solemn tandem run, whether they're really close, where they do some kind of choreography where this guy goes wide, he passes, and they pass again each other, do something like that. Because that's teamwork, and that's what we're looking for is teamwork. We're not just necessarily looking at these guys are on their doors all the way around.
I would say if they switch up and still do the same, I would say that's bonus points. I say if they switch up and just stay the same, I would rule that as like.
Well, we'll figure it out today. It's really not.
How many attempts are they going to be able to do? Are they going to have?
I think we should give them three attempts.
Three attempts? No, I think it's just give them two runs.
How about if somebody comes up and they want to do a five car tandem? Is that allowed?
No, it's only going to be two cars.
You sure?
Yes.
Well, in that case.
This is why. Because judging wise, if you have three or four cars and they're close together, that's people that only have two people, it's not fair.
Uh-huh.
Especially if we're going to incorporate the crowd. They're obviously going to go for the more cars, whether they're close together or not.
Yeah.
So, no, two cars only.
Noel?
I was going to say, if you want to do two runs per group, just run them. As they turn around, in the switch. Next order, they switch their order and then they go. And that way, like, it could be judged, you know, that way, like, who had the two best runs, you know, like a regular competition.
Leading and following.
Yeah.
Can both drivers lead and follow and put out a good tandem.
Yeah.
I guess we'll figure it out.
Sounds simple enough. So basically you're looking for the top three teams.
Yes.
And then once you've picked out the top three teams, the crowd is actually going to pick out the winner.
That's what I think we should do. Yes.
So it should be interesting.
It's going to be a fun event. We're just trying to do something for the crowd, get them involved in it, because most of the time at the skid pad, they're just standing there watching like innocent bystanders that have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
So we got to educate the public.
I guess. You don't necessarily have to, but okay.
But we should.
What other crazy ideas do you have lined up?
Duty.
Yeah.
Okay.
What other crazy ideas lined up? Because I heard people mention Twister.
Well, my brother was mentioning that we should do a Twister. We still got to figure out how to work that. We're going to do basketball.
Basketball.
That's going to be cool. We're going to have a driver and a passenger. The passenger, I'm going to get those little plastic balls, like, you know, when you jump in when you're a little kid, and they're going to have like 20 of them. We're going to set up two barrels and have them give them a minute to do figure eights around those and get as many in those barrels as possible. Whoever scores the most.
The guy has to drift and...
He has to be drifting figure eights around the barrels, and a passenger has to be trying to get the...
Oh, a passenger does it. Okay.
So they get a minute, or if they run out of...
Who gets the money?
Who gets the money?
They have to figure it out. That's not our concern.
Yeah, the $50 goes to the team. So they want to split it 25-25. At least pays for their admission.
Same thing with the whole team tandem. It's like, who gets the money? I don't know. That's their problem.
Yeah, we give them $50, whatever.
They'll figure it out. If they want to fight to the death, hey, whatever. Let us know. Yeah. Do it in the middle of the track.
Yep.
How about jousting?
That could be dangerous. I'm thinking about hanging up like rings. Like rings or targets, we can't let the driver do that. No way. That's going to be mayhem. Having a driver with a stick trying to shift and steer.
Yeah, they can multitask.
It'll be entertaining.
It will. Can you imagine a Corolla with a manual rack trying to do it? I mean, come on. It'll be entertaining.
Hey, it'll be a workout for me.
Of course. Oh. And it'll be great for the crowd as you go off the track.
Well, I'm going to go off the track even if I'm driving with both hands.
Exactly. But this is guaranteed, though. This is a guarantee that it's going to happen.
I like that.
You like that. You like going off the track. Thank you for admitting it. Must be an A6 thing.
It's a Corolla thing.
It's a Corolla thing. Oh, boy.
Anyhow.
Yeah, so interesting stuff happening at Skip Ad. Definitely be talking about, huh?
Big things.
Big things. I guess if you want to call it that.
Not really.
In other news, CFRC had their Marty Drift. Which
did you go up there?
I didn't go up there.
I know, because I didn't provide the.
Yeah, exactly. I need a carpool. Gas is expensive. It's going up to $4 again.
You got a Prius.
Doesn't matter. Still expensive. Carpool is better. It's fit the cost.
It's better for you, not for the driver.
Well, whatever. Anywho, case in point. So, nothing really exciting or crazy happened, except for one little minor detail. Chelsea Anofo is out on the track at CFRC.
Yes.
And I guess he was using the track as a shakedown, and during one of the tandem battles, he ended up crashing with Andrew Mensa.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Mensa drives a V8 power.
E36 LS2 or LS3? LS3 power, I think.
I heard something about a crate motor.
Yeah, he's on Facebook. He just did some dyno runs this past week.
Yeah, going up against...
He hit him.
Hold on, I'm just setting it up. So, Chelsea goes out to lead. Mm-hmm. And going to the first turn. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where a lot of debate is talked about. For the fact that, was Chelsea going to spin during the entry or not? In any case, he went, got a lot of angle. During the process, Andrew hit him from the back. Sounds weird. Mm-hmm. But yes, hit him from the back.
That's Orlando for you.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew spins, but Chelsea just keeps going.
That's fine. Isn't Chelsea a girl?
Okay, that joke's older, right? Come on now.
Oh, sorry. I'm not in the loop.
We've moved past that.
The loop? You're in a hole. There's not even a loop. That's like...
Womp, womp, womp.
Exactly.
I tried.
Okay. No,
where's your sound effects, man? That would have been great.
I know. You caught me off guard. I didn't know what to do.
Exactly.
I was flustered.
You got to be ready for this guy.
You're right. I do.
Anyways, it's not. I don't think it was Chelsea's fault. He looked like he was fully in control. He even he was able to snap it out of it when he wanted to. And when he snapped it out of it, Andrew was spinning out. Was in the process of spinning out. Mm-hmm. Hit him with the front of his car.
Back of his car.
No, it's front.
It looked like the back to me.
It was the back of the car. He backed into Chelsea.
Oh boy, he's going up the video now.
Oh, from what I he actually has it ready.
Yeah, he has it there. He's ready.
We should turn it up.
Let's No, you don't have to turn it up. You see the video. You see Chelsea.
Back of his car. Yeah. Okay, so you really reviewed that video.
Yeah,
so anyways,
exactly.
I saw it a couple of times. Now, I don't think Chelsea was going to spin, but I think in the process of getting a backwards entry, being that I don't think you can hit as high a speed as you need to really pull it off without losing too much speed, mm-hmm. I can't totally fault Andrew. If I was judging, I wouldn't totally fault Andrew for it because he slowed down so much.
Yeah.
And I think Andrew probably going at it thought he was going to hit him and spun, so he tried to spin as well. But then again, you got to understand who you're driving with. You're driving with Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't really think he's
going to
spin.
Chelsea's not going to spin, and he looked like he was in full control. And Andrew just threw it into a spin. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was trying to enter the same way he did, but you can tell by the video that Andrew looks surprised about where Chelsea entered. I mean, he sees him enter, and then he's like, "Oh crap, I got to enter."
Mm-hmm.
He entered just a little past him,
and then his wheels locked
but
up.
But Chelsea came. He slowed down significantly.
Well, yeah, because he went backwards. I mean,
that's another thing. Why would you do a backwards entry there?
Well, apparently, he was doing it all day.
Yeah, supposedly he was doing it all time. So
I guess nobody else was following him because they're letting him do the backwards entry. Because we do backwards entry, if you know the guy's going to do a backwards entry, give him the space to let him do it.
Well, you know, he should have.
I think Andrew was probably like, "I'm going to be right on him, and I'm going to put
This is not a competition.
Chelsea." I agree.
Don't worry about that.
And I think that we talked about that before where I was saying that why push it during a practice?
Now, that could have been a lot worse.
It could have.
Yeah.
That could have been a lot worse. He could have totaled Chelsea's car. And not only that, that's his competition car this year because the Arc State's out. So.
Yeah.
Noah, what do you think?
On initial, the first time I watched it, I agreed that Chelsea made a mistake and he parked the car. But now that I see it again, you could see that Chelsea is coming, he's returning the angle and he's getting back on the gas. And then Andrew comes and hits him. But Andrew was very surprised as well because, I mean, you could see it. He's like, "Oh crap, is this really happening in front of me?" So, he panicked.
It almost looks like his tire came off.
No, it didn't.
No,
it didn't, because he continued drifting. But look at the back of his tire. Jeez, that looks weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It looks funky.
Definitely. It's posted up on sfldrifters.com. Check it out.
And Chelsea rocks the whole rest of the course.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's Chelsea. Give me a break.
Even with getting hit.
And I see the tire rings. Have you been there since they sold changed the – not really changed up, but like
– No.
I haven't.
Because I see some tire rings there.
Yeah, it's not what they promised, but there's some rings there. It looks like the course is kind of not set up right either.
All right, so guys, if you were judging this event, this was actually in the competition. Who would be at fault? Tim.
That's a hard one.
Because this is almost like a sort of like a Tyler McCoury kind of.
Well, let me tell you this. I mean, are you supposed to follow the guy's line or not?
Yes, but you can't really follow a backwards entry.
Exactly. You can follow somebody's line, but you don't necessarily have to follow the same approach.
Okay, but then control your car and don't crash into the guy. He spun out. It's not like he was... Okay, I would have gave it to the guy maybe if he was like... He goes for the back... You know, he sees him do the backward entry, and then... He follows him. He's keeping the same amount of angle and then hits him. But what he did is he spun out and rammed him with his back end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's a hard thing to judge. Either way you look at it. The truth is, Andrew didn't anticipate, which is something that is essential as a chase driver. But then again, why did Chelsea throw it so hard?
Because he was doing it basically doing it the entire day.
You know, I'll tell you what. I would give it to Chelsea just because he finished his lap.
That's true.
Whether or not you could say, Andrew, I guess you go to the point, well, Andrew should have controlled his car. It is maybe suspect. It could be maybe go the other way, but Chelsea finished his run. It
doesn't look like the car got any damage.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Actually, I would actually put Andrew at fault, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because looking back at the video, it seems like, Chelsea did a reverse entry and so forth. And I seriously think he still could have held it with or without the crash.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just seems like Andrew panicked. And it just got to a point where, like, but it got to a point where, like, his car just couldn't scrub enough speed.
Right.
In time, and it just ended up making contact, and he just lost control of the car and it spun around.
The car definitely doesn't act like Chelsea's. You can see the front end is just...
Well, they have the same SLR. They're both running SLR.
Doesn't look like it acts the same.
Well, BMW powered, Chevy powered. It's the same.
Actually, it has to do with the weight.
The motor that's in a BMW is...
Yeah, the weight of the motor is farther forward. It keeps the inertia of the front end. It keeps the speed up with the rear. The V8 keeps the weight back. So it's, believe it or not, it's a little more. It'll spin out easier if you throw it hard.
What do you think about that, Paul? Because you look a little puzzled by that explanation.
You have more weight on the front wheels,
so it
should be more tail happy.
No,
he's saying the other way. He's saying moving the motor further back is going to make it more tail happy.
Not tail happy, but you won't have the inertia in the front. It's hard to explain.
You have more weight in the front. The tail is going to come out easier because it's going to be lighter and it's going to have less grip. You put more weight in the back, it's going to be grippier because it has more weight in the back, right?
Well, it works both ways, because if you have more weight in the back, it's easier to throw the back out because you have more weight.
Yeah, look at a Porsche.
Yeah.
You lift off, and the car is going to spin.
Ben has slid a rear mid-engine rear. He would have the only knowledge of how it feels.
Well, thank you.
Wait.
Instead of us all speculating.
Okay, what do you want to know?
How does it feel? Does it feel like it comes out so easy and you're just going to spin all the time?
No, it just doesn't feel it. Like, to me, it didn't feel any different from any other rear-wheel drive car. The only thing is that you just feel all this weight in the rear, especially during the switchbacks.
No.
You just feel all this weight in the rear just shifting around, and you're like, this is awkward, but so okay.
What I heard about the Porsche... You know, when Tyler McCrory had it, it was so fast because it had all that weight in the back. It was just all grip.
Yeah, but that was on throttle. But coming into a turn where he had to slow down, it wasn't that fast. You could see the front engine cars catch up, and then when he got on the gas, he'll pull away.
So you're saying that is slower on transitions.
It's slow. It should be slower on transition because it's so much weight pushing over the rear tires.
Ben?
I don't know about that. I think the wheelbase
have the same wheelbase. So that's...
I understand the same wheelbase, but I think the wheelbase plays more of a role. Huh?
How do you know they have the same wheelbase?
I'm talking about the...
Oh, it's the same of those two cars.
E36 and what's Chelsea's and E36?
They're close. They're not exactly the same.
Who's longer? Do you know?
The E46 is longer.
E46 is a little bit longer.
By like 4 inches.
Oh, well. You're forgetting it's not an E36 anymore.
I mean, again, I could be wrong, obviously. But if you're asking me, like, if an MR car, how did it feel in regards to when it transition? I didn't really feel it any different from any other rear wheel drive car that are driven.
Yeah, because I never slid one, and I know Tim hasn't. I don't know well if he has.
But what was the whole argument?
We were trying to figure out, because now we're looking at the cars and they don't seem to react the same. And the argument is that, Chelsea has an inline six, which is better weight distribution. And the LS1 is heavier and it weighs more on the front. But actually, knowing BMWs and knowing how the LS1 fits in the E36, it's actually further back than the...
No. That's what I'm saying. The LS engine, since it's farther back, it doesn't have as much inertia as the inline six in the front. So it'll keep the front. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not going anywhere with it.
All you're saying is it's heavier in the back. The LS1 car is heavier in the back than proportionally.
Proportionally.
More centered. The weight's more centered in it.
No, he's saying it's more rearward.
Yeah, it's more rearward. Well, it's like I said, a Porsche.
Okay, but the motor's not. The motor's still in front of the driver, so it can't be more rearward. It's going to be more centered.
No, we're talking about balance here, and we're telling, is there 50? Is it a 50-50 or is it,
Oh, hell if I know.
Anyway, let's keep going.
But there's a lot of things at play. Like, for instance, maybe it's not necessarily 50-50 because you also have to consider all the other components that are on the car. So, for instance, Chelsea has a turbo and yada, 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 and that adds weight to the front more. Huh?
I see he got rid of the wing.
I think he uses it depending on the track and so forth. But I don't know. Again, I could be wrong. I don't know. But in any case. But yeah, any other final comments regarding that crash?
The only thing I say about the video is I love the close-up on the guy's shoulder for about 10-15 seconds. That was a great camera guy there.
You know, one other thing I want to mention.
It's more than 5 seconds. It's like 30 seconds of the guy's shoulder.
One other thing I want to mention is how fast Chelsea's car looks. Like, I don't know if you've probably seen it, it shows it in that video, but Chelsea ended up posting up another video of one of his other runs. And, man, that thing's just flying through the course.
Yeah, because he sets up his car with a lot of rear grip. That's what his thing is. He says he wants the whole thing to just feel like it's pushing from the back.
Do anybody know what horsepower ratings he's got?
I don't know.
I've heard
Mike Essa makes like something 700.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's in the 800s or 700s. Mike Essa was 700 on a bare block, which is turbo.
Yeah, it was a stock engine.
It's not bad.
On ethanol, though. I don't know. I don't think Chelsea's running ethanol. I'm not sure, but I would.
But talking about FD, they have some new rules for this upcoming season, 2013. And it has a lot of people talking about it. One of the first things they're talking about is knockout elimination. I think we talked a little bit about that last time, right,
Tim? We did. We talked about the first round being the top 16, the second round, so forth, and getting the rest of the top 32. We did talk about that before.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good and bad.
It's going to be good because the amount of extra drivers they're going to have this year is going to be ridiculous. Yeah. A lot of drivers.
Yeah.
I think there's something like 20-plus new drivers this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of three of the guys from, what was that? How many? Four guys. Jason Giovanni, but I think he's not running this year, right?
I heard he's not going to run. No.
That sucks. He's not running. License too, huh? I guess money issues?
Somewhat, yeah. It's just... He basically priced it out, and it was just out of the way,
right?
But
and then we got rapper Dan Savage,
rapper Dan,
and then James Evans, I think, right?
James Evans,
no,
I don't know.
I don't know if he made it. I know that Doug Vandenbrink.
Oh
is
my
actually
gosh!
Gonna run.
I cannot believe this. Sorry to interrupt you, Newell. We have a special guest.
Yes.
What?
We're not going to come inside because we just started the podcast.
No, we've been started. We're 40 minutes in.
Here, go ahead. Go ahead and talk into the mic there. Announce yourself. Just talk into it.
By the way, this mic is hilarious.
You can hear you. We're good.
Oh my God, look at all this noise and commotion you're making. I can't close.
Anything you want to say?
World famous Chris Jackson has joined our studios.
Sexy, Mr. Sexy, big sexy Chris Jackson.
You've totally thrown a wrench into this broadcast. Get closer. We can barely hear you on the damn mic.
I came to crash the podcast. So I came to drop off some flyers for the March 10th event.
Who wants those?
Jackson, I got to admit, it smelled like oil.
Thank you.
Fixing off.
Where were you?
I was Towers. We probably passed out about 800 flyers in Towers.
Nice.
Did you count that or did you just...
That's not one of our flyers.
What are these? I was going to say, this. What is this?
That is, this is March 30th. Some other guy's doing a car show.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Get down. Jackson, you're all over the place. Seriously. Sit still. Sit still. Sit right here.
Sit still.
I know you're excited. You're always excited for some strange reason. Get closer. Okay. I can tell you've never done any kind of radio or recording ever.
Well, I used to actually make rap videos.
You used to make rap videos?
I believe you. I totally believe you.
Spoofs of like random songs. It was pretty funny.
Oh, God.
R rated.
So anyway.
Talk it to the...
Well, he's not talking.
Why are you here? Why are you crashing our party here?
I don't know.
You got Ben is all flustered. Look at him.
I am. Because it's like... we had it all calm, nice, and everything. Next thing you know, it's like this like tornado. This tornado of mayhem appears. Chris Jackson.
Oh, so anyway, so go ahead and talk. Let him talk about the USDC event, so I don't have to talk about it later.
All right, we'll talk about this now. So far, we have Maniacs Hobby Shop on board. They're going to be doing a lot more with the RC drifting end of it. I don't know if we talked about Bragging Rights. It used to be Bragging Rights Magazine. They're on board now. They're going to be taking care of the judging and everything for the car show. So that kickoff party at Extreme still. We finally got that finalized, so 2-for-1 drinks in the bar.
What is that exactly?
The kickoff party we're doing the day before, the 9th, it's going to start at 8 o'clock. Every single registered driver is going to get a free qualifying race. Then we're going to get we're going to take the top 15 of that. And the top 15 drivers are going to get a free regular race.
Okay.
And then they're also going to get some special at the U.S. Drift Circuit event, and they're going to get some special from Extreme. And there's also 2-for-1 drinks in the bar going on that night.
Nice.
Since it's on a Sunday, we're not going to be able to do the after party, so we'll do the kickoff party.
That sounds good.
Yeah, the after party will probably be at Tim's house the following weekend.
yeah, we're going to be putting up the garage. That's the after party.
There we go. There we go.
Got something for you. Okay, so we got that out of the way.
Hold on. What's this thing about on the flyer? Want to make $2 signs?
We're still looking for promoters. If you contacted me before, I tried getting back to everybody. How it works is we'll give you a number. We'll give you a whole bunch of flyers. Every flyer that comes back to us, which will come back to us because it's $3 off admission, you will get paid.
Oh, nice. So we got Maniac Hobby Complex. We got Jackson Performance, which of course is world famous, sexy Chris Jackson. We got Light Body Racing, Extreme Cards, Michelle Dane. What is that?
Michelle Dane's the graphic designer. She's awesome. Okay. She, didn't sleep for 3 days to get all her flyers and tickets for the malls. Nice. You can also purchase small tickets at Eventbrite.com at a discounted rate. And Aventura and Boca Mall will be selling our tickets for the event.
I'm sure Paul has a comment or two about the design.
Well, Drift Sessions, Rough Racing, Billet Design, VS
Media. Drift Sessions? Never heard of them.
They don't know what they're doing. Yeah, some guys. I think if they're like worse than Indema. Anyways, so we got South Florida Imports. Oof.
I had some words with Indema
You did?
At Towers. Yeah, I saw one of them.
Oh, they were there?
One of the guys. I'm like, didn't you used to work with Indema? He's like, yeah, he's like, I'm really not getting, now I'm just kind of just helping him out. So I don't think he wanted to claim to be with Indema anymore. So I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. He's like, but we're coming to your event. Yeah.
You got Rick Case.
Yes, Rick Case. Oh, Rick Case Fiat is on board now. Nature's Green, it's also Fast Wax, used to be, pretty much everything.
Right. Oh, yeah. Nature's Green, yeah. They're always at the gas stations trying to put their crap on my cars.
Thank you. Anyhow, they have an all-organic new formula coming out that they'll be debuting at the event. We also have 40 performers. I don't know, a couple of the big names. I think it's Epitaph.
40
live performers, yeah. We have Epitaph, we have Web3.
Little Choo Choo?
No, we couldn't get Choo Choo. But after the podcast, YouTube, Choo Choo, where I live, right from where City of Pompano, you feel me?
Pompano.
You feel me?
Okay.
Yep. And
so
I read
40 performers. I might as well just call this U.S. Yeah. Drift concert.
Yes. 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 It's gonna be stuff going on everywhere. You know, we're trying to throw an event, not just drifting. So it's gonna deliver this time. We're still in the works with graffiti contest. So right now we have about 4 or 5 guys interested. We're trying to make sure they're locked down and they actually want to do it. But
sounds like a circus.
It does.
It's like all these things happening.
It's in competition with the PBIR event that's happening the weekend after. I don't know if you've heard about it, but
no.
It's called Drag Mania. It's a concert and drag racing event.
Biters.
Copy us as much as them.
Yeah, I know. But it's Don Omar, so it,
but I think we're going to have a rock climbing wall, though, right?
No, we're going to one up them. We're actually going to put the singers in the cars, so they're going to be singing and drifting at the same time.
Nice. That's good times right there.
The stage is going to be the roof of the vehicles. As they're sliding along, they're like, wah! Yes, indeed.
Yeah, of course they would.
So what else do you have lined up for this USDC event?
Still have the 2 tracks going on at the same time, which everybody was against, but ever since we posted the video, the layout, nobody said anything. They're like, oh, right. That place really is as big as they were saying.
Right. They thought that we were joking. It was like, no, it is big.
So, yeah, we had never been to a drift event. I'd never even seen a drift event that has 2 tracks going at the same time.
Of course you have, Paul.
Yeah, we have.
Of course you have.
The one where your wheel came off.
What? Oh, that wasn't 2 tracks. That was a skid pad and a go-kart track.
I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay, well, we're still one-upping them, so, you know.
That full auto event. I went to that one.
Yeah.
They had an autocross and...
anything else you don't like, Paul?
Paul has very high standards.
Yes.
He likes to live in a civilized world.
Well, you know what I don't like is if you made it... No.
You're serious now. Come on now.
You made it the day after my wedding.
Yeah, we didn't make the day of your wedding.
Well, it's...
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
You know, I heard...
You know what? This is actually the after party for your wedding.
Yeah.
So everybody come out and just support Paul.
Jackson originally wanted you to have your wedding at the event.
I saw it at the 24-hour Lemons race, and it was hilarious.
Really?
They got married on the hood of a piece of crap $500 car. instead of rings, they had O-rings.
I bet you they're divorced.
Oh my god.
Did we get into the WiseFab discussion on the forum yet? Is that a topic this time?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. Alright, I was just wondering.
What was that all about?
Oh.
What are you doing,
Paul?
Do anything.
Did something.
Did you touch me?
Paul.
I didn't do anything. How's it, Chris?
What are you touching?
You're touching something.
Did you touch something?
No, I think it's
your phone.
Get your phone away.
No, it's still there.
Chris Jackson is burning
still
away.
Hold on. Jackson just totally messed up the podcast.
You're messing
the equipment up.
What is wrong with you?
Why are you here?
Okay, we're good.
All right, we're good.
Okay.
Hold on.
Sit back down.
Okay, talk.
Hello?
Gosh, this is horrible. This is the worst ever.
You know, we were doing pretty good.
Why'd you let him in?
I didn't.
Nobody would let me in. I got just walked in.
He just walked in.
Paul looked at me like, I'm coming in. Podcast.
Is that how you just show up to random places and you just...
It actually works very well. It works very well.
For you.
Yeah.
Not for anybody else.
Yeah, well.
Anyhow, so yes, let's get back on topic.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about the judge. We were starting to talk about the new things that are implemented in FD.
Jackson, are you going to stick around?
Listen, I'll stay out most of it unless I strongly disagree.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, fine.
Best episode ever.
Okay, let's just get forward to after the knockout elimination. The 5-minute rule is being renamed to the, what is it called? The competition timeout? Competition timeout.
And now...
And the other change.
Well, let's talk about that first. Now, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but for one, I hear music in the background. 2 is that before they were allowed to go back to the pits, am I correct, to make the changes and fixes the car? Now they're making them make their repairs on the track.
The actual 5 minutes started when the car got off the tow truck from the pit. Like, for instance, the car would get towed from the track, so that would be like 10 minutes, and then they will go over to the pits, and then once it drops from the tow truck, the 5 minutes will start from there.
Pretty much now, if you can't fix it on a track, then you're not driving.
Basically.
I think that's good.
Like, the lead car had to be, the one car had to be online to start, though.
Right.
Because I believe with Daigo and Chelsea, the 5 minutes didn't start until Daigo made it to the line. Until he made it to the line.
So you can hear him. He's good. So, but yeah, no, but this
maybe,
anyways,
I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I don't think so, but this is actually, I think it's going to be better. It's going to speed up the process. It's not. It's going to force guys to make the decision right away, and then they'll be able to hopefully re-tech it, you know, so there's no ratchet straps holding stuff together, which we've seen in the past.
Ryan Sage actually was interviewed by Drifted.com, and they asked him about that in regards to this particular five-minute rule thing. And he basically pointed out that the primary reason for it was Frederick Asbo's situation in Las Vegas last year when he damaged his car and it was towed back to the pits. His towing time was a 10 to 15 minute delay, and we lost 90% of our audience. It really has no bearing on competition at all. He went out the next run and he lost. Hopefully eliminating the tow time to the pit is going to make the event more quick paced and more exciting without taking away from the competition.
Right.
So it makes sense in a lot of ways. Okay, so so that's basically the five-minute rule. Now, the qualifying points are adjusted now. So instead of being the 0.4, 0.5, or yada, 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 they're going to use it by whole numbers now. Thoughts on that?
I think definitely, because his points was a bunch of garbage anyways. How do you judge? Oh, is there something point this? But with the speed gun, I understand the points because they're trying to get whatever the speed.
Yeah, the speeds will still be by 0.5, 0.6, and so forth.
Yeah, it'll be in increments of tenths.
Yeah.
So. Which is point.
Yeah, which is a point, but that's the only
1.2, yeah. 0.3, that is.
Which is the only aspect.
I wanted to be a little bit more exact.
But, you know.
That's the only aspect of the judging that will be by decimals.
Was it even close last year? What was the point standing from last year? Is anything even relatively close that we needed that, or no?
I can't even hear you.
Was anything close last year in points? As far as, like, from the point standing last year that it needed the decimal system?
I don't think so.
No, it never is. I never even remember being that close where you needed to have decimals.
Look, if it keeps going that, we just got to keep going.
Just keep going. Let's go. So what's the next one?
The next one is new ways to gain zeros.
See, I don't think they should change it from qualifying to tandem. It should be the same, just straight across the board. If you're going to do a zero for two tires, do it for qualifying and battles. If you're going to do it one tire, then just keep it consistent. Don't change it up.
Go by whatever they pick.
Right.
You know, there's a couple times last year when, you know, a couple tires went off and they just didn't see it. Well, then that didn't happen. Right. So
get closer.
Last year, there's a couple times that
that's fine.
A couple
don't
tires went
it.
Off.
While you're kidding.
Went off track and that it didn't, you know, count.
Right. There's cars that went off totally off track.
Yep.
And it just didn't matter.
Well, they weren't enforcing it. They weren't enforcing if you're hitting the clips either. There are things when
sometimes. It matters who you are.
The clip and
yeah, it matters who you are.
My favorite one is hood latch and or doors open during the run.
Well, that's
will give
always
you zero.
Been.
Yeah, that's
well, right. That's,
yeah.
Tony
no,
Angela.
That started after Georgia last year.
Tony Lynn.
But they had the rule in effect anyways. They just,
but now they're enforcing it.
Well, if they had it, they didn't enforce it.
Right.
Because if I was behind somebody and their trunk popped open, I would get off them because that thing's probably going to fly towards me.
Right. Yeah. And it's a distraction. Some people think they use it as like a smoke screen to kind of throw the driver off behind you. But another, what was the next one that you're talking about?
They, what? In regards to what?
The zeros.
New ways to get zeros? Spinning out, loss of drift, two tires off course, resulting contact causes an abrupt change in the vehicle's drifts and or causes a spin. That's in the qualifying. Mm-hmm. In the tandem, let's see, they're saying two or more of the following items constitute an automatic zero in tandem. And that is one wheel off course, straining, hitting a cone or course marker, double entry, abrupt, stopped, and stalling. So stalling. Oh, that's interesting. And a double entry, I like that one too.
Yeah. The one I did want to talk about, but we weren't 100% on it, was the rev limiting being a deduction.
Yeah, we heard that if you're bouncing off the rev limiter, points get deducted from your score.
I think that's garbage. Yeah.
And we heard this apparently from Chelsea. Chelsea DeNofo posted it somewhere, or he mentioned it somewhere. And I've actually tried to look to see if it was anywhere online or if anybody's talked about it. And I actually haven't been able to find anything up to this point.
See, the problem is it's very hard to even find their rule book online. I don't know why they don't make the rule book something on their website, but they don't.
Only
pros get the rule book and they're allowed to see it. And if they post it online,
it's like it's supposed to be some sort of secret, like under the table kind of thing. It's like, here, have it. Just don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody about it.
Don't post it on the internet.
Exactly. Even though you easily find a PDF file online.
No. I've only found one place that posted online.
Yeah,
and they didn't post the actual rules. They only posted the tech section about the car. So yeah. I don't have any idea what the actual rule book looks like.
Oh, like the ethics and the code of conduct and so
forth.
You've
read a lot of the rule book.
I've read the technical rule book. Yeah. The like what you can do to your car, how you can modify it. But they split them up this year. They used to have them in one rule book, but this year they decided to split them into two different things.
Whatever. I don't know. Hopefully they'll sort that out, but they also updated the rules on passing, so apparently it's allowed just as long as it doesn't create any sort of contact
during
the process.
As long as you
don't
bully the other guy off the track and you're just capitalizing on his mistakes, it's allowed. But if you're forcing your way and bullying your way through a turn, they're not going to allow that because you can do that. You can push people out of the way literally because the other guy's like right there and he makes him go wide. You're not allowed to do that. You have to, if the guy goes way wide, you can pass him.
Yeah, like what happened with Tyler McCoy and Jun Meng and Road Atlanta last year.
Right.
Yep.
Like, Tyler McCoy was in the clear. He was like, yeehaw! He just took off, but they just counted against him. This year, no, that'd be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So. If it's a clean pass, and I agree with that. I think that's something that needs to be
fixed. Finally.
That puts the lead driver has got to be on point. Because not only do you have to put a solid run down, you have to make sure that door isn't open for somebody to pass you.
Jackson, are you doing Pro-Am this year by any chance?
No, not doing Pro-Am this year.
No?
Just too busy with the shop and the U.S. Drift Circuit stuff. But, you know, and plus the season pass thing, I don't want to put that much money out at one time. Yeah. Especially if I'm not going to be able to do. I'll do two of them and then I'll just give up. Right. I'll crash my car. So.
Yeah.
You said it, not us. Well, in any case.
I don't have a track record in the last couple of years. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did have the rule about the roll cage. You have to have the extra bar now for your ankle.
Yeah, your
yeah.
What are they calling it?
Ankle bar. Anti-intrusion bar.
That's a fancy way of saying it.
Or tire or wheel intrusion bar. Well, you don't have to add it. It's
recommended.
It's additional. Yeah, recommended.
All right. So it'll be mandatory next year.
Most likely. The thing is mandatory is a drive shaft loop.
Yeah.
That's new.
That's normal, though. Most racing
have it, but they didn't have it in the rule book last year.
Jackson, what do you think of the new rules?
I want to see it enforced. I can write whatever they want, but when it actually comes down to it and you're at the event,
that's
they're
the going to
enforce what they want, and they're not going to do what they don't want. So,
right.
Yeah, that's the problem with Formula Drift, is they don't stick to the rule book.
In your opinion?
No, it seems it's a fact.
That's definitely a fact.
Okay, well, I'm just
like,
your
like look at Pat. Pat said they have recommended drive shaft loops for the longest time, but they never put it in their rule book. And there's a lot of like even that the Wise Fab thing, where.
But talk about that, the Wise Fab thing.
I want to hear this in person.
Really? Okay. Well, you in the rule book it states that the pivot point for the McPherson strut design has to be inside the OEM bolt circle. Yeah. I'm assuming the stock opening.
The stock opening, yes.
The stock opening. It's got to be within there. Well, Wise Fab, it pushes all the way underneath that.
As if you drew a line, a circle from all three mounting positions.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So, it's, where they haven't drawn.
The interpretation can be.
It can be mixed. And supposedly they work with Formula Drift with it. So that's the thing.
Well, there are two cars that will be running.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be completely approved. But this is the thing. They need to either stick to the rule book or throw the rule book out and then just do everything
you know, we approve this, we approve this car, we approve that car. You know,
remember Tanner Faust's TC?
Yeah, that was definitely
that. It had no modification to the firewall. That motor was pushed back 6 to 7 inches.
Yeah,
easily. You change the spark plugs from the driver's seat.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Like, I think a quarter of the motor was underneath the windshield.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah. And that had the no firewall modification at all rule.
I couldn't have.
Possible. So, no. And the whole thing was too. It was a. What was it? Like an X. I heard it was like an X.
Yeah, it was almost a
drag car.
So that's what the thing is. If you're going to start trying to be like the NASCAR of drifting, where their tech is.
Oh, yeah. We looked at NASCAR tech when we were in the museum, and their tech is.
The things that they find. They have Gatorade drink pouches that are on the door filled with lead weights to weigh the car down. That rotors where they measure the thickness of your rotors, they measure the length of your bolts because they try to save weight by cutting just a couple threads off a couple bolts. It ain't never going to happen in Formula D. But the rules that you do have.
Huh? It could.
No, because it's not completely dependent on just weight and speed.
And there's too many different cars.
Yeah, we kind of get, like the way Formula Drift works, you kind of get like penalized if you're too light. If you're too light because, with the tire rule. So the weight kind of that whole factor doesn't matter anymore because the tire rule.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is that not that they have to be as strict as NASCAR or every car has to be the same like NASCAR does, but let's face it, Formula D in the drift world is turning into the NASCAR of drifting. That being said, if you're going to enforce if you're going to enforce or if you're going to make rules, you need to enforce them no matter who breaks them. You can't show favorites just because you have a DA sticker on your car that, oh, we can let him pass.
There is ways around it, like such as Toyota.
Like
their fuel cell rule.
Uh-huh.
You're only allowed a certain amount of gallons in NASCAR for the fuel cell.
Okay.
So Toyota thought it was an awesome idea. Let's just take the fuel line and run it zigzag all the way up to the front of the car.
There you go.
That's awesome.
And it was legal for a while. It's like caught on. Like, oh, man, Toyota's too smart. They caught us.
Yeah. There you go.
It's not necessarily legal. It's just the fact that they interpret it differently.
It wasn't
defined.
Right. They didn't make a rule against it. Well, you know, most rules and laws are made because people.
Well, racing, like, other than really drifting so much, or I guess you could say drifting.
It's getting there.
It's whoever can shoot the most without getting caught.
It's getting there. It is getting there because even in the driving, who can sandbag without people noticing?
It happens in Formula One, too. I see it, too.
Right, exactly. But that's how you get the edge. That's a whole nother level. But as far as the tech aspect. Huh?
What were you going to mention?
Oh, no. The Toyota, the system with the braking, charging the batteries, and it's like an electric boost of the motor. Like,
right.
The technology in those cars is just crazy if you ever look into them. Yeah. Nuts. Yeah.
Amazing.
Toyota.
You're praising Toyota. Good job, Tim. Promise. Thank you. But I caught
not,
that.
That's not in the cars that factor. That's a race car. It's totally different.
What do you mean? It's still the same idea.
How many BMWs are in NASCAR?
Huh?
How many BMWs are in NASCAR?
Why would they waste their time with NASCAR? So that being said, let's move on.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. We've gone over the 1 hour mark.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah. I mean, Chris Jackson kind of came in and
exactly.
It was like 26 years ago. Yeah, you're talking about that tonight. Oh.
What's that?
What are you talking about?
He made the pop sound, so I thought he was talking about like my birth.
What?
No, I thought he was talking about in this world. I was like,
we're never going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about your birth.
Yeah, talking about that. So anyway, so I guess we'll just wind it up or wind it down.
Jackson, I don't know. You're something else, Jackson. Yeah, I guess you're definitely world famous for something, both good and bad.
Okay, so are we signing off now?
That's my cue, not your cue. You know something? Why don't you sign it off? Because he seems to be. Want to take
the
helm.
I'm waiting for you. I'm concentrating on something else.
What about the KP quote of the day? You had that.
Oh,
you forgot the KP quote of the day.
It's not exciting, but you know it is what it is. So let me give you that real quick. Okay, this is the KP quote of the day. Before we go, this was last week. Wide tire addiction is worse than a drug addiction.
So, say it again. Say it again.
Wide tire addiction is worse than drug addiction.
Really?
Apparently
so. Costs a lot more.
Hey, actually, talking about KP, let me mention this before we sign off. What do you think of the video? This video that he put together when he went over to the
Are you asking me this?
We should just sign off.
Let me ask everybody.
Keep this friendly and just sign off.
Just sign off.
I do want to mention one thing, though. All the drivers for US Drift Circuit, I remember. People were, a couple of drivers ordered tires today. Jack's Performance, myself, is giving tires at cost for registered drivers for the event.
Which you have to give to hand it to him because no other venue.
At cost is actually better, like guaranteed better than some sponsorship.
Like Achilles.
I didn't want to say it, but I guess.
But I said it.
It is better than the Achilles sponsored drivers.
Because I actually got approved for the Achilles sponsorship, and I looked at my prices, and I can get Achilles tires cheaper than what they want to sponsor them for. So I didn't put the sticker on my car.
Stock up on tires for the event. You're going to need a lot, and, you know, give me a call when you want them.
There you go.
So no comments on the KP video?
Let's keep it nice.
No, let's just nice. Yeah.
Well, I think it was great.
You think it was great?
I think it was great. I got to hand it to KP.
It was good entertainment.
Yes, and it's the first of many great videos to come from KP, and we'll definitely be following him this year.
Did he give you money?
Huh?
How much money did he pay you?
And on that note, we're wrapping up this podcast. I'm your host, Captain Ben. Your host, not Tim, not Noel.
Wait, what did you say? Noel?
Nope. You're really going to work on that thing. Yes, thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. With me, Tim.
That's right.
Paul.
Yep.
And last but not least, Noel. And want to thank our...
uninvited guest.
And yes, our uninvited surprise guest, the world famous Chris Jackson.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, anytime. Just not next time.
Yes, please. Stay away.
No dancing at the next Kid Pad, by the way.
There will be dancing.
No dancing allowed.
Okay, no, we're stopping. Bye, 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 bye.